This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 4. This week's show continues our interviews with the category winners of the 2020 Zebra Golden Brush Awards. Today we hear from four artists that make up the winners of three categories: A Most Simple Home, and She & Company, and the Vintage Sisters. We'll likely finish up the interviews on next week's episode. Just like last week, you will enjoy hearing from your refinishing friends as they share how they went about creating these award-winning pieces. We'll hear from our Zebra Furniture Flip host, Jen Talley. She has already been peeking at the entries as they come in, and she will be giving us a report on how ugly are the ugly ducklings in our flip event. You'll also hear a refinishing tip, check in from a few of your friends on what they're working on in their studios this week, and we'll hear another Did You Know segment. And we have a special announcement near the end of the show. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. If you were listening last week, you heard from three of our 2020 Golden Brush Award category winners. Today, you get to hear from a few more. First up, we'll hear from two refinishers that teamed up to produce a winning piece: Christina from A Most Simple Home and Shoshan from She & Company. Then a bit later in our podcast, we'll hear from two sisters, Jen and Amanda with the Vintage Sisters. They won two categories in the event. Hello, Christina and Shoshan, and congratulations on winning Best Multicolor Piece.
Thank you.
Hi.
And you guys really poured your creative juices into this piece. It's so unique.
Yep. I don't think either of us knows which one should talk.
I know, it's a little bit hard, isn't it, when you've got two on the same line.
Just looked at each other like,
You should develop like a code or something, or you could just say, I got this.
Like volleyball. Got it, exactly. Help it.
Exactly. You just call the shot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, really, really nice job. So we're excited to talk about this piece, learn more about how you created it, because we can learn and grow from that. But before we do that, so you guys have two separate accounts, and we'll have you share those accounts too at the end, but you have two separate accounts, which I guess that means you have two separate businesses, but you guys work together a lot. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually, I started painting furniture full time probably about 9 months ago. And prior to that, Christina's page is one of the pages that I followed. So when I got started, I'd ask her some questions, or if I saw something that she used that I really liked, I'd ask her more about that. And so I think that we just started casually chatting there. We live in one town over. I'm in Peachtree Corners, Georgia, and she's over in Roswell, Georgia. So it just seemed to make sense.
Yeah. And isn't that cool how friendships develop from the industry, even within social media, and to be that close and then to be able to develop a friendship? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been, I have to say, when we met, it was so funny because Shoshan volunteers at a thrift store that I go to a lot. And I was in there looking around, and all of a sudden this girl comes up to me and she goes, "Are you Amos Simple Home?" And I was like, "Oh my God, what?" I said, yes. And she was like, "I'm Shoshan from She & Co." And I was like, "Oh," because we had talked on Instagram. So it was just really funny. And then we just started meeting up and getting together, and it's just been really good.
That's a lot of fun. Now, do you guys, you mentioned Shoshan, I think you said you lived in, was it Peachtree?
Peachtree Corners.
Okay. Now, Peachtree in Atlanta, there's a lot of Peachtree roads, isn't there? Drives or streets.
Everything is Peachtree in Atlanta.
So does that mean you're like pretty close to Atlanta?
We're right outside the perimeter. Peachtree Corners is actually, I think probably back 7 plus maybe 10 years ago, is a part of Norcross, and they just kind of spinned off of Norcross. And so it's a newer city. A lot of people get it confused with Peachtree City, which is down south of the airport, but we're up northeast.
Okay, so both of you really are north of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right outside the perimeter.
Well, that's good. That way you don't have to drive through the busy highways to get to each other. No. That would be difficult during rush hour traffic. I know Atlanta, I suppose most large cities are, but even though Atlanta is a cool city, it is difficult. I mean, you just have to time it right. I was talking to somebody the other day who's traveling to Florida at the end of this week. And she's like, you know what? We will get up at the break of dawn so that our timing is right, so that we do not end up in rush hour traffic in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Especially going to Florida, there's, you know, pretty much one way in and out that people usually take. And that can get really backed up, especially around holiday weekends and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just not a lot of fun sitting on the highway, you know, it's, especially just stop and go, stop and go. So what kind of weather are you guys having today?
It's very nice. I think it's, what, 70?
Yeah, it was 36 this morning when I first started working, and now it's sunny and 70, and the weather's perfect.
That's the way it is here in North Carolina. We're probably pretty close. In fact, you guys are probably a few degrees warmer, but today it's like right around 70. And the sun is shining. It's like, if this is definitely a teaser for spring, so we'll take it. So you guys met each other through social media, as far as started the conversation, and then you met each other at the thrift store. What's your work relationship like, as far as when you guys get together to work? Do you guys balance each other well? Do you do pretty much the same things? How does that work relationship when you tackle a project together?
We work really well together. Shoshan likes to do the detail stuff that I don't like to do. So it's kind of nice because we balance each other out that way. And she's got great ideas, and we just kind of, I don't know, it just works.
And I think that we're both really laid back too. Yeah. We can kind of bounce ideas off of each other and give and receive feedback really well.
Yeah.
So there's not like a stubborn one or an alpha one. We're like, oh, what do you think about this? And okay, that sounds good. What about this? Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, we're both very straightforward, which I appreciate, because I don't like it when people beat around the bush. She'll just tell me stuff. I'm like, okay, and I'll tell her, and there's no offense. It's just, it works really good.
That's an ideal work situation, especially when you're having a good time, just enjoying each other's company, and then you can, mm-hmm. you know, do a refinished piece. Now, when you guys finish a piece, do you just, like, does one get it, the other one doesn't? I mean, like, do you just split it down the middle? Like, how does that process?
I would say divide and conquer. The piece that we worked on was quite a large piece, and it needed a lot of work. So we all started working on it. Actually, a third furniture friend of ours that we actually source a lot of our mid-century modern pieces from was stopped over as well. And we are all actually just working on the desk together. And her kids were there taking the hardware off and sanding, and we were sanding. And then when Christina left, she took a couple of drawers and I took a couple of drawers and, you know, just kept in contact, a text message. And then she came over and we worked on it some more. It took several steps.
Yeah. And this is funny because this piece, so our friend Lindsay, she's from Classic MCM Finds here in Atlanta. She had the piece and gave it to me. And then it sat in my basement for a while, and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this piece. So I asked Shoshan if she wanted it, and she was like, I don't know if we work on it together. So then it ended up in her garage, this poor piece. And then we finally, working on it together was helpful because we got it done, and then we, you know, entered it, and look what happened. So it was funny. It was meant to go almost to the trash, and then it ended up here.
Yeah, it's funny when you reflect back on a piece, and oftentimes, depending on what phase you're in, you're like almost ready to quit, to give up on it, or to take a different turn with it. But when you see a piece win an award, obviously because people recognize that it was really well done, I mean, you're like, man, I'm glad we stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have to say, because I've got a picture in front of me of this piece before you started it. And man, this fits into the category of ugly. And for our zebra furniture flip, if you guys are aware of that, that's where folks are looking for ugly ducklings to enter and to transform.
We still have the matching cowboy.
Do you?
We do. We're still debating what to do with it.
I was bringing it up last weekend, and this is kind of funny because Kristen will be like, oh, I'm not too sure. I'll be like, come on, let's do it together. Doesn't that sound like fun? And I think that we're both so busy, but yeah, that dresser too is just as ugly as the other one.
But it's solid. It's good bones. That's why it's hard to just, get rid of it.
Yeah. It reminds me of a piece like in like a really old motel where it's been there for years and the people who stayed there kind of didn't care what they did with it or to it, and or in an old office somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's so,
and what
it's
you don't see is the back. There was no back on it and the top wasn't screwed down. So I don't know.
We ended up flipping the top, didn't we?
Yeah, we had to. I think we did because it was so bad.
Yeah,
it was a horrible paint job.
The top, and then you cut the back for it.
Yep.
Wow. See, that's why these conversations are so important because you get to hear the details because, you know, all we're doing is seeing the picture, which is impressive, but to learn about the history behind it is really pretty cool. Now, you know, I'm flipping back and forth, and certainly our listeners, they can go to enjoyzebra.com, Golden Brush Awards, and check out the piece there, or they can go to the accounts of Christina and Shoshone and look at them there and see the post comments to learn more about them. But, you know, it is such a dramatic change. And so what we want to hear from you guys is, so you get this piece, it kind of went back and forth and you exchanged drawers and started sanding and working on it. But how did you come up with this design? Not just how you came up with the design, but also the process of painting it, because there's a lot of detail in this thing.
So we're looking at each other like, who wants to go first? So Shoshone was working on it and she was like, there was so much texture because the previous paint job was so bad. And she was like, let's do like a texture on the front so that we don't have to sand. It was just horrible trying to sand the drawers.
And there's those grooves on there too that were previously filled.
Yeah. It was a mess. So we were trying to figure out how to get a smooth finish and we couldn't. So we were like, let's do some kind of texture on it. And so Shoshone had done drip art before. And I had actually done it before we even met. We had each done it. I did a wall like in a closet and she had all the stuff for it. And I was like, let's do something with that. And that's how it.
Yeah. And I think we're also talking about wanting to do something with a pastel or a lighter palette. So we actually started with the sides and with the pastel colors. We mixed up all the different colors and had them in all separate containers. And what we use to apply the drip art is actually syringes without the needle. So just the plunger part. So you suck up the paint by pulling it back and then you put it towards the top and let it drip, push out a little bit and let it drip all the way down or partial way down. And we did the side and that looked really cool. And then we were thinking, well, what do we want to do on the front? And I know that when we're talking about the pastel color palette, we're talking about the rainbow and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be neat if we did a rainbow? So then we were making sure we had all the colors and sectioning it out.
Making more colors because we didn't have enough colors.
But then we had to figure out how do we draw the curve of the rainbow. So I was running around the house looking for something that was that large that we could use for the curve and we couldn't find it. So then Christina came up with a contraption that you would use in geometry class where you hold the pencil with a string and then we kind of freehanded that. So it was, we literally probably laughed the whole time we were doing this project because it was just like, we're like, hey, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So let's just put our creative energy in and see what happens.
That's so important with when you attempt something creative like that is to kind of throw the fear out and just dive into it. And like you just said, see what happens with it. It has a real whimsical look to it. And it's just very warm in the sense that it has sort of, I don't know, a childlike appeal to it. And the colors, the way you've positioned the colors and the rainbow and the arc and all of that. It's really, really neat. Now you were talking about how you achieved the side. Did you use that same suction portion of the syringe to do the front, or did you paint those mm-hmm. lines on?
No, it's all drip art.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems like that would be so messy.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, we had some cardboard underneath it, and it was, yeah, on the cardboard, on the floor, on our hands, on the containers.
And I think we opened each drawer so that we would start at the top so that it would drip all the way down. We had to make sure the drawers were lined up perfectly so that mm-hmm. it would drip all the way down the three drawers.
But you've got places even on the top drawer, which, you know, when you look at a piece that's completed, and, you know, especially a piece that has this appeal to it, you don't really see like, oh, I would have done this different. You're sort of analyzing it to see, wow, what makes this work so well together? But there's places on the top drawer where the drip didn't go all the way down, which is really mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you didn't plan that. I mean, that's just where the drip stops, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, do you do anything when you're doing, what was it you called it, drip painting?
Yeah, drip art. Yeah.
Okay, drip art.
Whatever you want to call it. Drip it.
I would imagine that the paint is thickened up a little bit, so it just doesn't like run everywhere. It's sort of a slow run.
No, we actually thinned it so it would run down the surfaces.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's just by just playing with it. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you mix it with water and then you kind of test it probably on something to see that it has a run to it.
Yeah. We tested it on the sides.
Well, that's nice. If you don't like it, you can put a plant next to it, right?
Yeah.
What kind of paint did you use?
This one was all general
acrylic
paint, right?
Yeah. Which is acrylic base.
Cause we both had a lot of the colors, and some of the colors we did lighten mm-hmm. to make them a little bit more pastel-y.
The decision to sand the skeleton part of the piece so that you see the natural wood tones, how did that come about?
I think it was whoever painted it before had left it. It was already wood and we liked it. It was pretty, so we didn't want to paint it.
So we just sanded it. Yeah, yeah. It mm-hmm. just needed to be sanded, and then we just sealed that it with a water-based sealer so it wouldn't yellow over time.
And flipping back and forth, you were missing hardware on the piece as it came, or either you had taken that off, mm-hmm. but it looks like you've got, was that like glass knobs of some sort on there?
No, I think they're metal.
Like, yeah, those are the little brass knobs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not
I know,
looking
it's hard
at
to
it
see.
Real close up, but yeah, those work really well with it.
Yeah, we wanted to keep that simple because the drip art just already had, you know, some complexity to that. So we were looking online and Christina actually found that it's like a simple, and it's actually really relevant to the piece being mid-century modern as well.
So who has it? Did somebody buy it? Is it in one of your homes? What's the status of this piece?
It's sold. It's going in a nursery.
Really? I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
They just need to make sure as the child grows up like 2, 3, 4 years old that they don't add to it necessarily.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, because that would be tempting as a kid, you know, to take the crayons and say, I'm going to add a little more up in this area here.
For all the happy little sunshine in the corner.
Well, I ask all of the winners of the categories this particular question because I want to hear from everybody. So, and this, I'd like for both of you to answer this, but tell us what you enjoy so much about refinishing furniture.
Well, I'll go first. I really like many of the newer refinishers, painters. I've been refinishing furniture since I was a little girl with my stepfather. We did a lot of wood refinishing, not a lot of painting. Mm-hmm. And I started painting out of necessity of wanting a new look on pieces that we already had, and also trying to be conscious of recycling and reusing. But when COVID hit, I was really looking for something to fill that void of socially being out. And I found that when I'd work on a piece, it would call me and it would actually put me in a really great mood. And then after selling pieces, it was just amazing. I feel 10 years younger than I feel when I started painting. So it's been a real blessing, I would say.
I love working with my hands. I've always loved, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And like Shoshan, I've been painting things ever since I like can remember. I used to sponge paint my walls in the 90s, and I think I sponge painted a desk one time. I mean, I was painting everything, but incorrectly until, you know, about 4 years ago when I took a class on how to actually paint furniture correctly. And it just has evolved from there. And I just love, you know, the satisfaction of seeing the transformation and like just selling a piece and that people are interested in your work. It's really cool.
I'm just so grateful for the whole furniture community.
Yeah.
Everyone is so supportive and so transparent and so real and so genuine
and helpful.
Yeah. Helpful. And it's just like, you have so many of these friends that you've never met in person before. Well, until they walk into the thrift store that you volunteer at.
It's even recognizing with a mask on. I don't even know.
Yeah. Like celebrity, I guess furniture celebrity.
I felt like a celebrity for a second.
But yeah, I just wanted to say that I love the community. Yeah, and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah. I just want to say, I think it's really cool how just like me and Shoshan and our friend Lindsay, and there's a couple other girls here. We just all support each other, and there's no competition that I don't feel like anyway, because we all have our own gifts and we're all good at different aspects. And honestly, by us working together, we've grown our businesses. Like, I've been busier than ever. So it's been really cool.
Well, well said. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to give us all the details of this beautiful piece. If you would share all your social media accounts so folks can follow you guys.
Sure. I'll share mine first. My Instagram is @SheAndCo_. And I'm also on Facebook @SheAndCo as well.
Mine is A Most Simple Home. My last name is Amos, so I just put a T at the end.
Clever.
And yeah, that's Instagram and Facebook as well.
Well, Christina and Shoshan, you guys pulled out all the stops for sure on creativity with this piece. But the cool thing is it's not overdone. It's just the right balance. So great work and congratulations again to you both. Enjoy the recognition.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on. If I could just give one shout out really quick to our husbands who hate moving furniture, but put up with us and move really long, heavy pieces. Brian and Mike, we definitely appreciate you. So thank you. And thank you, Lane. It's been such a pleasure. Yeah, it's so nice to, you know, after listening to your voice for the last, over a year, it's so surreal to talk to you in person. So really, really think it's awesome. And thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you guys on. And it's a lot of fun to meet new folks. And that's one of the great things about the podcast is I get to meet new people. And as I get to meet new people, so do the listeners as well. And for Brian and Mike, I got their names right, right?
Yeah.
You guys can't question anything Christina and Shoshan do again, because they won an award on this piece. So
you
got to hang tight.
Yeah, they're good sports. that's
cool. Well, congratulations again to you both. And we look forward to seeing what you guys are going to produce this year. We've got lots of opportunities, especially with the Ugly Duckling, with the Zebra Furniture Flip, and of course some of the monthly contests coming up, and then and for sure the Golden Brush Awards at the end of the year. So stay tuned. We can't wait to see what comes out of the studios of Christina and Shoshan.
Okay, nice meeting you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Lane. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. You guys take care.
Okay, you too.
Support for Zebra's Before and After comes from Zebra, the brush company that produces application-specific paintbrushes that will literally change your paint life. Whether you are painting a room, creating a craft, or refinishing a furniture piece, Zebra has you covered. Each one of our thoughtfully designed brushes has a specific purpose in mind, and each one is packed with unique and proprietary filaments that are smaller in diameter, allowing us to give you 25% more filament pack out than your standard brush. That translates to smooth finishes and fun brushing. Zebra brushes give you the opportunity to fill your work and guide it to your desired destination. Enjoy and paint on. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they are working on in their studios this week.
Hi, this is Anne Michelle from Amini Design Ashburn, and this week I am working on a Jacobian-style cabinet and a Sheraton-style sideboard in my studio. They're both going blue. Have a great day!
Hi, this is Amanda from Then and Again Furniture. This next week, I'm getting started on a couple of old dressers that need quite a bit of work. One of them I got for free and the other one was fairly cheap, which usually means a lot of work. So I'm hoping to get most of the prep work done and the fixes done this week.
Hello, everyone. This is Brandon with BT Treasures. And although I am occupied with school all week, I do love setting up my workshop on the weekends and getting my hands on a bunch of furniture. This weekend, I am working on a Hepplewhite style dresser that is from 1945. And I'm going to be painting it a dark navy blue. And I'm going to shine up the hardware just to get back that old gold color. Last weekend, I picked up the most adorable vanity dresser, and it has cute little cup pulls, and I'm going to be painting it a very light purple and sanding on the tops and giving those a whitewash.
Boy, a lot of great refinishing taking place around the world. Today's refinishing tip comes from Kaylee with Sly Interior Artist.
Hello, this is Kaylee Sly with Sly Interior Artist. Thank you so much, Zebra, for having me. I have a few tips with choosing paint colors. It can be a lot of fun, and with so many great options, it also can be a little overwhelming. Just a few weeks ago, I had a very specific vision in my mind, and I was set on bringing it to life. I actually ended up going through 5 different paint colors until I found the exact color. So, my first tip is to never settle for a color that you're not loving, and don't be afraid to change it. We're all artists, so spending extra time and effort is never a waste. It's really hard not to get stressed if you dislike a color once you've painted it, especially if it's large. The best thing to do is sample swatches. I usually start with one color and then try another if I dislike the first one. If you want to start with multiple choices, you can do that. But sometimes it makes it harder to decide and colors look different when they're next to each other. Now, when you're painting the sample, you want to make sure it is large enough to tell what it would look like, but not too large that it's a pain to fix. I would say probably around 4 to 5 inches would be a great place to start. Also, make sure you do your sample on the actual furniture you're using. If you plan on painting on top of sanded wood, make sure to sand it before you do the sample. If you're priming, do the sample on top of the primer. That way the colors will be accurate and you won't be surprised. So once you've done this, wait until the paint's dry and then make your final decision in a well-lit area. I hope this helps. Thank you.
Great tip on determining the right color for your projects, Kaylee. Thanks for sharing. I'm sure most of you have seen ugly pieces of furniture showcased all over Instagram and Facebook. You've heard Gentali talking about duck hunting. You've seen stories from Mudpaint, D. Lawless Hardware, and Zebra highlighting these ugly pieces that you guys are tagging us on. Yes, that means the Zebra furniture flip is underway, accepting entries this week only. So, Jen, how's it coming? Are we getting good ugly ducklings, or should I say, how ugly are the entries?
Oh my gosh, Lane, it is actually going so great. There are so many good / ugly entries that I'm so excited about. I was just browsing through it this morning, and I don't know how we're going to pick. I don't think there's any shortage of ugly duckling furniture out there. But I feel like what makes me even more excited about seeing all these ugly pieces is the fact that I truly do see the potential in all of these pieces. It's one of the things that I love about what I do the most, and I think most furniture refinishers can agree with me on this, is that you can see the beauty in something that really is ugly right now. You can see something in it that other people don't see. So being able to flip it and make it beautiful and give it that wow factor is what makes us happy. So I'm so excited about all of the entries so far. If you haven't entered yet, there is still time. Entries will be accepted until this Friday, March 19th. You can upload up to 3 pictures, but just 1 piece per person. So if you haven't entered yet, I highly encourage you to do it. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared about it. This is going to be fun and exciting and inspiring. So go out there, do some duck hunting if you haven't, and you guys, stay tuned. It's coming up soon.
Remember, once all the entries are in by March 19th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jen will review all the entries and select the 3 ugliest pieces. We will announce those on next Wednesday's podcast. Did you know the trademark name Chalk Paint is the name British designer creator Annie Sloan gave her now famous decorative paint in 1990? Ms. Sloan was a busy mom of 3 young boys and wanted a paint she could use without a lot of prep work, with a technique that would enable her to start and finish a project all in one day, and a paint that would go on any surface. Annie Sloan Chalk Paint is water-based and non-toxic. The paint name bears the name because of the matte finish of the paint, not the ingredients in the paint. If you would like to learn more about Annie Sloan Chalk Paint or Annie Sloan, her website is anniesloan.com. If you didn't know, now you do. Now back to our Golden Brush Award category winners with the Vintage Sisters. Hello, Jen and Amanda, and congratulations on winning 2 categories in the Zebra Golden Brush Awards, and that is Best Farmhouse Style and Best Staging. Congrats.
Thank you very much, Lane.
Thank you.
We're very excited and honored and thankful to be a part of the Golden Brush Awards again this year.
So what is going on with you two? You guys are on a roll, and to top it off, you won last year's category of Best Staging.
Oh, I know. I know. It was very exciting, and it was an honor to be put back in this category again. And Emily was also in the category.
Mm-hmm.
She was there last year, so it was nice to see some familiar faces.
Yeah.
And obviously staging can be a lot of fun. It can be a little bit stressful, but we always try to have a lot of fun with it. And so then to be recognized for it with, from our peers is a big deal for us, right?
Yeah, and I think I was really nervous, actually, when I just thought there's so many people that have joined in the last year or so. Things have really grown. And so I was actually just, I don't know, kind of like paranoid of all the new people.
Yeah.
And just, I was like, we're never going to get, just looking through the categories, I was just like, oh, there's way more, there's just so much
out there
creativity
now.
And stuff. I didn't even know if we would get in the top 3 in any category. Not that, I mean, I hoped that we would,
sure.
But it was just,
yeah.
I don't know. I was just like, there was just so much out there now. I was more nervous this year.
Well, and to have won it back to back, the same category, you're kind of
yes,
undefeated now in
I
this
guess.
Category.
2 years.
So wait till next year.
Yeah, I'm already trying to figure out pieces for next year. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
That makes it actually a little more stressful, doesn't it? When you go into enter your piece next year, you're like, oh my gosh, we got to keep it now.
Exactly.
We're out here.
People will be watching for us, I guess.
Yeah, they will. Well, I have to ask this because it's mandatory. So have you guys ever struggled with staging?
Yeah.
Well, I think, when we compare, I haven't even looked back at some of our old pieces, to be honest, lately, but I think it's obviously, it's like anything in refinishing furniture, you get better as you go along and over the years. So, yeah, if I compare our staging from now to, say, 5 years ago, it's significantly better.
Oh, yeah,
like, it doesn't even compare. So I think it is something that you just, I think some of it just comes naturally, obviously. And you just learn what fits better and when do you do too much or too little. Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. There's a learning curve, and you gradually just get better.
I think, too, it depends, like, if something is for sale or it's not, that affects my decision, is that I'm thinking, okay, this is already pre-sold, so we're not, like, having to make, like, a lot of times we'll stage something so that the audience thinks of it
can visualize it.
You're thinking of, like, you're not using it for this purpose. You might want it for this purpose, whether it's a, you know, a lot of people use buffets for all kinds of things, not just to store their china or something. Nowadays, it's like for putting their kids' toys in. So it can be all kinds of things that you do to make people see it in a way that you are. So I find that is the big difference for me. It's almost like not a laziness, but it's like a, where I just think, oh, well, this one is, it's already sold, so I don't have to stage it for someone else.
And sometimes too, but having said that, when we know that it's pre-sold or it is a custom piece, then we know exactly what that person is utilizing it for. So then that also plays into the staging, right? So maybe we're not going to stress as much about the staging because we don't have to sell the piece. It's already sold. But we know that this is going to be in their foyer, or so then we're going to maybe stage it a little bit more with that theme so that they can visualize it there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, each piece is different as far as where it's going, and yeah, is it sold? Is it going in a kid's room? Okay, well then let's maybe stage it that way, right? So all of that plays into it as well.
Yeah, and that makes it fun too, because you've got some variations on the staging props. Now,
you both
are in different locations, so are you both staging experts, or is it primarily one of you who tends to be more of the staging expertise person?
Manda is the stager. Like, I have ideas, and I'll just have, like, leaking things, or I'm the one that hoards all the stuff. So
yeah.
I have all the pieces sometimes that I'm like, oh, I'm bringing this over.
Yes, Jen will have the majority of the props. As soon as Jen starts putting things in place on the furniture, I start removing them and replacing them.
Or she'll start taking the photos, like, you know, it's sort of, when I watch it, it's sort of like photographers when they like start taking pictures of the person when they're not really ready. It's like she's taking a picture of the buffet just sitting there by itself,
yeah,
and there's nothing there, just getting her lighting or whatever.
Yeah, and then trying to figure out how much space I have is what I like to do first, is take a picture of the piece before I have anything on it, so then I can figure out where do I want the piece of furniture in the actual photo, how much space do I want around it, and then I start filling the space that way, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. That's actually a really good tip, isn't it?
Right, is I want to make sure I can crop it in my frame so that there's not too much space around it, but not too little. Then I kind of help. That helps me figure out the distance I want to be away from the piece, and then usually the angles I'll figure out that way too, which angles I like best on the piece. Obviously, if there's a lot of detail on it, then you want that to kind of stick out, or you want to take some specific shots of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like I do, you know, shots and figuring out before I actually start putting the props in place.
Well, that makes me think too, that when you're doing that, you're also capturing the lighting, and I know that can change, but
huge aspect of it.
Wow, that's an excellent tip. We should scrub this from the audio and then have you guys call in with the refinishing tip.
Yeah,
no, we'll keep it in.
And then the lighting is just a whole nother issue too, right?
So, yeah.
Because I have a very specific time of day that I find I have the best natural light. But then also in the last few months with winter, I find that's changed a little bit. It's kind of moved it an hour or almost 2 hours later in the day, and then when I go out to Jen's house, it's just like totally different set up there. So I mean, we really just need to invest in some really good photography lights, which we keep saying we're going to, but then we never do.
Well, I mean, my goodness, you're winning awards without the photography lights.
we really do. We really count we on the natural light for sure. But I think that's when you get the best picture.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'd rather use the natural light. I like it better than your...
Well, I've heard a lot of people say the photography lights are there if it's like one of those days where the lighting is just not working for them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, because you guys have timelines too. It's not like, yes, you can say, well, you know, if they're calling for sun next week, we'll stage it next week. No, I mean, you got to deal with it that week, especially if,
exactly,
it's a business and you got to sell your pieces.
Correct.
You know, one of the things I want to say is that you guys break the rules with staging, because generally the rule is the simpler, the better, but you guys don't follow that. And, but
no,
my goodness, you get away with it.
We make our own rules, Lane.
We do. That probably frustrates some people, because, I mean, seriously, that's a big deal, because, you know, we've had these conversations with you guys before. We've had them with other people about staging. And I guess it's one, I guess the general maybe rule, if you will, about this is that if you're not comfortable staging and you're just, you don't feel like that's your gift, then simpler is better, right?
Yes.
But if you, like you guys, are like really get into the groove of it and you just start playing with it and it starts, mm-hmm, happening,
yeah,
and it works, then go for it.
And, I mean, obviously, it depends on the piece. I mean, this specific piece is an antique. It's got a lot of character. I liked the story behind it. I mean, we had discussed this desk back in September,
uh-huh,
when it won for the desk theme. But it was a desk from Oklahoma. So it was a Canadian man went down to Oklahoma to play football on a football scholarship at the university. He met his wife there, brought her home to Canada, and she brought some of her furniture with her. So then I bought it from an estate dispersal from the daughter. And so when I went to pick it up, she had said, oh yes, my mom brought this with her, and this was always her sewing desk. So that is what was the inspiration behind this desk, to stage it that way. And so then when you think of a seamstress desk or you think of a designer's desk, Jen and I, our mother is a seamstress. So we grew up with this sort of chaos around us our entire childhood, right? Like if you actually look at a seamstress desk or their sewing room or even a designer's room or desk, it is a little bit chaotic, right? There's,
mm-hmm,
stuff everywhere because they're creating. They're in full creation mode. They have fabric everywhere. It's laying on the floor. Their patterns are laying out to cut. So I felt like with this theme, we could go a little bit more, right? We could have more props, because that is legitimately how someone's room is or desk is going to look. They need to have that inspiration hanging on the walls or laying out on the floors,
mm-hmm,
right? So I figured, in my opinion, we could get away with it with this desk having a little bit extra, because that's how it legitimately would be.
Well, and it's just to echo what you're saying, you feel like you're stepping back in time.
Yeah.
When you look at this picture, and that is what's so really very cool about it.
Yeah.
Except I see like a mouse pad there. Off to the right. Is that?
Oh,
I'm just joking. I'm joking.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm like, where are you looking?
I know. I'm looking at the little oil can.
I had to throw a curveball. I just had to, because and the reason why I did is because you've got so much thought into every single thing that you've placed in there,
mm-hmm,
and it is all sewing related. So I had to throw, yeah, something in there to like get you guys off.
I like when people notice things too, because they're looking. Like someone messaged me the other day and asked what is hanging out of those drawers, and it was a side photo of it, and when you zoomed in, she just couldn't see the zipper part of it.
Yeah.
But it was driving her nuts, and so that she didn't know what was hanging out the side. I'm like, oh, well, it's
from vintage zippers.
No,
yeah.
That's so cool that you added that, because both of my grandmothers enjoyed sewing. And they had sewing rooms. And so,
yeah,
I remember going in there as a kid, and what you just said, patterns were all over the place. There,
mm-hmm,
were those pins everywhere, pin cushions.
Oh, gosh. How many times did you step on a pin?
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Like,
oh, yeah, because I love those little cushions, but then you end up,
yeah,
getting pricked. And but then those zipper pieces that you have hanging out of the door, those were,
mm-hmm,
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it really kind of took me back, too, when I saw,
yeah,
saw that. Now, just describe it for our listeners, because it is a bit of a different type of a desk. It's,
mm-hmm,
an Empire desk, I believe, right?
Yes.
Empire style desk. Yes, that's correct.
So this desk was manufactured as a desk. It wasn't an Empire dresser that was manipulated to into a desk.
I don't believe so. No, it's definitely a desk, and I think another example of it confirming that is the bottom piece, right?
Yeah.
So you can see that bottom shelf there, which I tried to remove to make it look more like a mini sideboard, and I couldn't remove that. It was there to stay. So yes, it is definitely a desk, and the lady I bought it off me said, yep, this was my mother's sewing desk her entire life, so I don't believe this was a different piece of furniture at one point. And actually, when we had discussed this desk in September, you had said how you had never seen an Empire desk before. Mm-hmm. And I had said how it's very rare for us to find this style of furniture here. And Jen and I, no joke, found another one.
Did you really?
What, it was 3 weeks ago? Yeah. We had been watching it. It was on one of the buy-sell sites. And, of course, I'm always the watcher. And Jen's always saying, like, what are you watching it for? Watching it sell to somebody else? Right? We always have this debate. But it was almost an hour drive out of the city. And it was more money than I wanted to pay. So then finally, it was a really nice day. Jen was in the city. And I just messaged this lady. If, you know, I'll come pick it up right now. And I gave her an offer. She said, yep, if you pick it up. So we went for a drive, grabbed our coffees, and went for a nice little drive, picked it up. So we actually have a second one in my garage right now.
Yes.
And It still has the two layers of veneer on the top. Same as this one. So it'll be, you know,
I think a she big was picking jaw.
Oh, yeah, I was already picking at it, trying to
pick in the corner.
Were you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's just like I can't stop. And so then, yeah, it'll be another big job to refinish that top, but it's always worth it in the end. It always looks amazing when it's finished. So
but that'll be exciting because Amanda ended up keeping this one.
Yes,
and everybody was asking about it. Mm-hmm. So then at least we can say, okay, well.
Oh, and this next one that we bought, it doesn't have that lower shelf.
Uh-huh.
And it had a mirror. It has an Empire style mirror on the top. So it is actually more of the vanity style. So it looks almost identical to it, but it had the mirror attached to the top, which we'll be removing and selling. We hate painting mirrors. Like,
that's not your thing.
I just know, and I find too, it's so nice to take them off. And then if you do want a mirror, I find sometimes it's nicer to buy maybe a newer mirror that's got a little bit more of a vintage feel, but it kind of modernizes the piece still, right? So I like to get rid of the mirrors. We've broke a few over the years that we've just decided it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do take the mirrors off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, repurpose the mirror somewhere else or in a different location.
Absolutely. Lots of people like to paint them and put them on their mantle, right? Like they always sell when we sell them individually on their own. So they're still being repurposed.
Yeah, congratulations on this. As expected,
you
guys did a phenomenal job, and it's nice to be recognized, as you mentioned earlier, by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so congratulations on that. Before we get to talk about your next win, we got to check in with weather. Oh. I know people are like, what's going on with the weather in Saskatchewan? So what's going on with the weather?
Jenny, she already wrote the temp down this morning for you, so you go ahead.
I just was thinking that before we started, I was going to tell you that you didn't even bring it up today.
Yeah.
So, oh, no, but I have to bring it up. Yeah, I'll find somewhere.
But it's actually, so my drive is about like 40 minutes to Amanda's house. I had lots more snow overnight than she did, and it was freezing rain the whole way, but the drive was okay. And now it's big snowflakes.
Oh, wow.
And it's about -3 degrees Celsius, but it's nice. Like, it's not super windy today, so it's mm-hmm. nice. But we have had some melting the last few days, and so it feels kind of spring-like.
Yeah, but lately. We always, this time of year, we always get teased, right? We get some really nice warm days where it's melting and the kids have been out building their trenches in the slush and snow, getting things draining, and then we usually get, you know, another snowfall, but then it always melts
quite quickly, right? Because the temperatures are finally getting milder. Yesterday, I actually, for the first time, had my garage door open a bit while I was sanding. So we're getting there. I'm not running my heater as much in the garage. So temperature is warming up.
Well, I did my little converter. And for those of us in the United States, that would be, I think, about 26 degrees Fahrenheit, which is still really, really, really cold for us in the South. In fact, today, now I'll share this. I'm not gloating or anything like that at all. I'm just sharing facts. We're just sharing weather. But so here in the South, it is a balmy 70 degrees with sunshine. Can you believe that? Now it's not, we haven't hit 70 yet. It's 64 degrees right now, but it's supposed to get up to about 70. And tomorrow, this is like, I mean, this is still early for this in my mind. Tomorrow is sunny and 72. And actually on Friday, it's getting all the way up to 75. Now it drops back down next week, but we just haven't had the big snow that we thought we were going to get. Because usually the South, you get a big snow, then it warms up, then it melts. So it doesn't last very long. But most everybody now, when you get to March, if you haven't had the snow, you don't even want it at that point. Because you see the daffodils are coming up. And so, yeah, it's nice. But you guys will get there.
Yeah, this time of year we get antsy because Jen and I love our plants and gardening. So, as soon as the snow starts melting, we're out in the yard digging to see which perennials are slowly peeking up. Like Jen just had a bunch of seeds delivered to my house, a package of seeds for her yard. So yeah, we're already in that mode, getting ready. Hopeful, yes.
We talk about how furniture finishing is therapeutic. So is spring with planting and getting the soil ready for the vegetable gardens and the flower gardens and all of that. So it's nice to know that's around the corner. Well, I'd like to offer up a different question.
Okay.
And it's a bit out of sorts for refinishing, but it's a reference to a post on your Instagram account. So tell me, you guys had these game day treats and you posted this really nice picture that frankly made my mouth water. They were sugar cookie bars. I think you posted that on there. Now, we try to avoid refined sugar for the most part. But when I saw them, I was like,
Elaine, but
yeah, right. And I saw them and I was like, maybe they have a healthy spin on them. Do they at all?
No, never. Life's too short. I cook with good quality butter and whipped green cream. That was like a buttercream icing on those. And that was a new recipe. Yeah, that was the Super Bowl Sunday. And we're big football people in this household. So, yeah, I made some treats for our kids. So, yeah, they were good. I'm impressed. Thank you. I'm glad you noticed those.
Oh, I noticed them. They made my mouth water. I mean, my goodness. Well, is if you didn't enjoy the game, you certainly enjoyed the treats.
Yes, we did. Jen and I, that's another thing. We love to bake and cook, and that's something we have discussed, actually, maybe just slowly kind of adding the odd post to our Instagram and Facebook of, our cooking and baking. So I'm glad that was noticed.
Yeah. And even the Christmas picture of all
Our treats. Christmas baking.
There was for those, these mastered two, like, pan slice in there and those sugar cookies.
These are, like, family recipes that we've made for years and perfected. And
They look scrumptious. And by the way, we won't even talk about your Valentine's Day treats.
Oh, I didn't bake those. Man. I bought, my sister-in-law is a baker. So I had those, the baking from her, and then a local place in Regina just started that chocolate boutique. So those chocolates, they're so beautiful, you actually don't even want to eat them. They are Each one is a piece of art in itself.
Yeah, I don't care about the beauty. I don't care about the beauty. I mean, the beauty draws me in, but then once I see them, because the chocolate, I mean, I don't understand people who don't like chocolate. I mean, chocolate is like such an incredible flavor that I love chocolate. But, now have you guys ever tried baking with monk's fruit?
I've heard about it, but it doesn't sound very good to me. Like, I saw a picture of it.
I don't know what that is. No, what is it?
Well, it's supposed to be an alternative to refined sugar. Oh. And it is much healthier. I mean, well, like sugars, there's no health properties and there's no nutrients in sugar at all, right? But
yeah,
your body is able to process it better. But I will say this, it's the closest thing to, like, when you take the monk's fruit, the refined monk's fruit, and you taste it, it doesn't have like a bitter taste like stevia can have.
Oh, okay.
It is really genuinely very sweet. And that's the reason why I was asking, because I would think there would be a way to, like, I don't know how you would like equate, like, if something calls for a cup of sugar, would you use a cup of monk's fruit or how all that would work? But I don't know. You guys should check into it. It's a little more expensive because it's health, you know, everything healthy is more expensive. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess, you know, this, even though we've enjoyed this conversation, I guess we should get back to talking about the furniture. But I've enjoyed this little bit, this detour.
Same.
So let's start with your farmhouse style bench. I read that you retrieved it from someone's front porch. Hopefully you got permission.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We paid for it. Don't worry.
Yeah, we paid for it. So I'm just trying to think if that was during COVID. It must have been, because a lot of the pickups and drop-offs are all like e-transfer, and then you, you know, contactless pickup type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one was, I just assumed, like, where they had it sitting, it sort of seemed like that's where it had been for years too. And also being outside, like the shrunken, there was some middle molding, if you look at the picture in the one before, and feel like I don't like having the space there. So we did cut a little piece to go in, to make the new molding in there. That's the only part. And I think too, like pulling it off to clean and sand and everything, it was really brittle and all kind of broke apart because it was all made with forged nails, so then a lot of those nails even, like, bust in half when we were taking it apart. So, but yeah, it definitely was sitting outside, just, like, on a kind of covered porch, but it was really old. Like I said, it was something that was, somebody made it, handmade, and
it was well-weathered.
Really cool square-headed forged nails, which I just have a thing for. Whenever I see something that's made with them, I don't know, I'm drawn to really, really cool things like that. And so choosing this, like, you know how I said earlier that I was actually nervous about all the entries of, and when you go and you read the description of farmhouse, and I know that so many people feel like it's a white chippy is their description of farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like Amanda and I, our style of modern farmhouse is maybe a little bit different than that. We don't do tons of chippy stuff. We're not really big into the nail paint and stuff like that. It's pretty and stuff, but it's just not something that we've done a lot of. So, and looking back at our photos, we're like, okay, which one actually screams farmhouse to you? And, like, we really like the black and white look of farmhouse, but also the pop of green is something that always stands out to both of us that says farmhouse to us. And so this was a real risk.
Yeah, we felt like this was a risky one for sure.
Yeah, and I felt like I was really hoping that the judges were going to be filing through all these entries and see a whole bunch of different of the same thing, and then that our bench would be like, hey, somebody threw in a color here. and also see that it just happens to be that it looks really nice and farmhouse.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that both of us were just thinking, like, hey, let's risk it and just hope that they see our vision in this.
We were shocked. Both entries, we were very excited. But to be honest, we didn't think that would get picked. So we were very excited, very pumped.
It's a really neat piece, and I think a lot of people really enjoy these benches. There's a place that not too far from where we live. It's an old general store. It's on private property, and unfortunately, the whole store is just run down, and it's just they probably store stuff. But there's an old bench on the front porch, but it looks to be. I mean, it's been there for years and years and years. And even though there's a cover over it, you know, wind blown rain and all that kind of stuff, I think it's probably beyond the ability to be repaired. But you just hate when you see something like that, that has this history and it's just, you can't get it. So it's really cool that you guys were able to rescue it from the, the porch and do some changes. Now, when you guys did the structural changes, who's the handyman here? I mean, are you both good at doing that sort of thing?
We both do it. A lot of times, like, my husband, like, he has a lot of good tools, and he likes to help me once in a while. Like, it depends.
Yeah.
But I do like to do a lot of the fixing stuff.
Yeah.
The woodworking part of it.
Yeah. Is set up more so with a lot of the tools to do that. So if there is something in my shop that needs fixing, then I'll take it out to hers or just send it home with her and say, hey, can you repair this? So it's not so much that I don't know how or don't want to, because I do enjoy it. It's just I don't have all of the nice tools like her husband does that we
That makes a difference.
So, right? So that makes a difference.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I say that around here because, you know, if you have the right power tools and you know how to use them well, it makes a huge difference in taking on jobs. I mean, if you've got a project and you know you need those tools, I mean, you don't want to futz around, you know, with other tools to try to get to what you need when there's tools that are designed for those, you know, specific applications. And honestly, you know, that rolls nicely into paintbrushes because that was really the whole focus that we had when we designed these paintbrushes, because we were like, you know what, these traditional brushes are cumbersome to use and it makes painting frustrating for a ton of people. And so to be able to create brushes that are specifically designed for specific applications, it's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. You don't get as frustrated, because that's what happens to me with tools. If I don't have the right tool, I get frustrated. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll put this project on hold.
Absolutely. It makes the process a lot longer, right?
Right.
For sure. When you don't have what you need.
Well, now this particular bench, I just, you know, I'm going back to staging on this one as well. How'd you guys know to knock one of the boots over?
I don't know. I always do that when we're staging with boots, because I just feel like, who puts their boots neat and tidy right beside a bench? Like, let's be honest, not very often. I mean, in my house, it sure isn't. The boots are all over the place. So, I don't know. I guess when I just feel like it looks a little bit more natural. Yeah. I don't know.
I think there was this a long time ago. And it has my dad's cowboy boots in it, and they're super retro and super pointy, and they've been in my closet for a really long time. And the photo of that dresser with the boot over to the side, that is something that I always like think of when I'm thinking of artsy kind of pictures.
Yeah, it's just like,
so I think that's something that's sort of a, I wouldn't say it's like, yeah, it has to be, but I don't know, it's just one above my head.
I feel like it tipped over or something. It just looks more realistic, like you just kicked them off and that's where they landed.
But it's not messy. It's just, it's cool. I like that. That's another good tip. Trying to keep it natural, make it look realistic, make it look authentic. Those are key things I'm getting from you guys, especially when we're talking about the sewing desk.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to call out too is that the wooden box underneath the bench, it pulls out the color in the scarf. That is cool. Did you plan that?
When you're adding colors, I try to have more than one piece of a similar color, if that makes sense. So yeah, maybe they're not going to be exact the same, but I feel like if you have just one piece that's, let's say, red or blue, or that box, it's going to pop out at you, right? So I feel like you always have to add another object that's also got the similar color or texture to make it blend a little bit better, if that makes sense, right? Because you'll have just that one piece that just pops right out or sticks out like a sore thumb, essentially, right? And that's never what I want. I want the whole thing to blend.
Yeah. Well, if frames the bench well and it draws your eye down toward the box, or the box draws, or you draw up to the scarf, and that all surrounds the bench and just, just sort of calls attention to the bench really well. It doesn't distract it, as you said. So did you guys keep this bench?
No, we sold it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. We do sell things occasionally.
Just
like...
once in a while, though.
Yeah, but you got two homes. I mean...
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and that actually was a lady that lived in the close to my house, actually, in kind of a neighboring neighborhood, and she loved it. She still has it. I sent her a message when the Zebra Golden Brush Awards were going on to say, hey, the bench you bought has, made the top three, you know, feel free to vote kind of thing. And she thought that was really cool and exciting. And she said, yeah, she still has it. She just loves it. So, yeah, it went to a good home.
Yeah. Did you tell her there's an additional charge if it wins an award?
I did not. Wouldn't that be ideal?
All right.
Back to there, just to touch on that, I remember that, we have a bunch of crates in our stash, and I don't know if we had used this one yet, it was like, okay, bring all your crates in and see what works, and then this one, I mean, both of us really like one.
Yeah, we just thought it was, cool.
And it just has the reference, it says Edmonton, Alberta mm-hmm. on the side, which is cool, and the word vintage also, which is, so it was also just I just really liked, because a lot of times crates up here will have ones that are, fruit or something, mm-hmm. mostly, but this one was just a little different than the ones we normally have, so.
Yeah, we kept the crate, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting rid of that.
We keep all the staging stuff.
Do you ever sell any of the props with the pieces?
We have people asking us for the benches and chairs all the time, like that stool yeah. and the sewing
desk.
Picture that stool, Amanda has had so many people message about
wanting to buy it.
Mm-hmm. That, and I have, there's a total of four of them, but don't tell me, right? But, they asked me, where did I tell you? They came from a schoolhouse in Missouri. Maybe someday we'll do them up and sell them, but
yeah, that's one thing we get asked about regularly. But other than that, we don't even offer any of the...
Not normal, yeah. But we should do a purge, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, if you purge them, you need to make sure you use them for your piece so that you can sell the whole thing. Because I have literally, and I think I've shared this on the podcast as I've talked to different refinishers, some folks say that the client or the customer will say, I'd like to buy it all.
Yeah.
I want the furniture piece, but if at all possible, I'd like to buy the props because I want to create that same look at home,
Yeah.
So that's a really cool aspect of refinishing. Okay. That common question to all the 10 category winners is, tell us what you enjoy so much about refinishing furniture.
Okay, what do I enjoy? I love the creativity of it. That's something I have always had since I was a kid. Jen and I both, for as long as we can remember, our dad was a carpenter, our mom was a seamstress. I feel like this creative energy has just always been, has always surrounded us growing mm-hmm. up. Our dad would tear down old buildings and Jen and I would go in and we would try to salvage a little chair or a little table, anything we could, take it home, paint it with some leftover paint to put it in our bedroom. It seems like it just naturally, it's just natural for us. And I crave the creativity.
I think sometimes for myself, I feel like I love, I can walk into somewhere and see instantly something out of nothing or out yes. of something different. We were at a market a couple of years ago, and the person beside us, she was so sweet, Yvonne, and she said to us, she walked around our booth, and she's like, you guys just have this gift of doing this. And she's like, people don't know how to stage this or set this up.
People can't visualize
mm-hmm. is what she said, is that some people don't look beyond something. Whereas, my husband would look at something that we're picking up and say, this is a piece of junk, and I can't believe that we drove here for this. But in my head, I say to him, I instantly saw, I'm taking this piece off. I'm cutting yes. this part off.
Yes.
This is going to be this color. I already have the hardware in mind.
Yeah.
We just in our, not to jump forward to the, the ugly duckling thing coming up, but I've already, envisioned,
It's just creating this masterpiece is what I love about it.
It's not the sale for me.
No, not necessarily. That is an added bonus, but even sure. just you take a piece and you deconstruct something and you rebuild it, and it, I don't know, just making this essentially piece of art. And then also having people love them, love it so much, like in the positive feedback, it, I think it surprises me still every time to think, oh, wow, people really liked that, or right? So yeah, I mean, there's so many things I like about it. But definitely it's definitely a passion. Like when people say like, oh, do you enjoy doing this? Absolutely. 100%. This is what I was made to do for sure.
Well, it's certainly evident that you both enjoy it. And, man, I'm just, now I'm eager. I can't wait to see what you guys, enter in next year's, Golden Brush Awards. It's going to be, it's going to be fierce. Going to see if you can go for 3-0 next year, on the, well, especially yeah, on the stage.
The pressure is on. That's for sure.
Well, share all of your social media accounts so folks can follow you guys.
It is at Vintage Sisters SK.
All right, Jen and Amanda, what can I say but congratulations and congratulations. You guys did an amazing job on these two pieces, and they are certainly worthy of recognition. Tough competition for sure, and the public voted you guys on top, so enjoy the fruit of your efforts.
Thank you very much, Lane.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
It's podcast giveaway time. Here is how you can have a chance to win a Best of Zebra paintbrush kit. All you have to do is leave a written review, we prefer it to be positive, of course, on any podcast directory like iTunes that allows you to leave a review, and screenshot your review, then send it to me. You can do that by emailing me the screenshot at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Make sure you spell zebra with an I. We will take all those that participate and have a random drawing. We'll announce the winner on next week's podcast. Now for a special announcement that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a special guest to make that announcement for us. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Zebras Before and After.
Hey, Lane. Thank you for having me.
Now, you are the director of Home Revival Interiors, located in the port city of Plymouth, England. What is Home Revival Interiors?
It's an interior-based business. It's a furniture flipping business. And then I sell paint and all of the wonderful stuff that goes along with it. And I started the same, I think, as nearly 90% of the women in this industry by accident. We're accidental entrepreneurs, I think. I started doing it for myself, and then my family, and then my friends, and it snowballed, and I've been in business now for, 15 years.
Yeah, you definitely are quite the entrepreneur, from doing the refinishing, as you just mentioned, but then also selling an array of products. That's really exciting to see how you've grown over the years. Now, you're from Plymouth. That's a long ways from London, I'm assuming. That's southwest of London?
Yeah, we're right on the southwest coast, pirate country. Yeah.
Now, is every view postcard for you?
Well, I have to say it really is. Plymouth's famous for the Mayflower Steps, so where the Mayflower ship left England and landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. So, and it's very, very, very beautiful. We're right on the coast. Literally, I can see the sea from my bedroom window.
Oh, wow.
But from the back of the house, I can see the moors. So we're just surrounded by beauty, and no matter which way you turn, you can see something really beautiful. So yeah, I'm lucky. We're very lucky to live here.
Man, you do not lack in inspiration, do you?
Not at all. No, it really is a beautiful part of the world.
Now, are you from Plymouth? Have you always lived there?
Oh, I am. Yes, I have always lived here.
Now, what is the weather like there today, Sarah?
Well, it is England after all, Lane. So it's not wonderful. We're not known for our wonderful weather, but in the summers, we do get really good summers when it arrives.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because here in the South, especially this time of year, we're like trying to make that transition from winter into spring. And it's a lot of springboarding back and forth, you know. And last week it was really beautiful. It was sunny. We had, I think we topped out at around 70 degrees. And then this week, today anyway, it's in the low 50s. I suppose that's the high, is low 50s. Right now it's probably in the 40s. It's pretty cloudy, damp with, you know, rainy.
Sounds like home.
I know, I was going to say, it's funny when it's like this, because I like the sun, so I don't particularly care for the clouds and the gray weather, but sometimes I'm like, well, you know what? This feels very English. So I try to put a different spin on it.
Try to make it exotic.
Exactly. Well, it's really great having you on today to get to know you better, but as well, we have an important announcement. For the last few years, we have made several new friends from the UK, and as we have sent brushes over as gifts, as well as from giveaways, many of the folks that receive them have asked, where can we buy your brushes? And I should say those that are seeing other people get them say, where can I get a hold of your brushes? And so for a long time, we've had to say, well, we're working on it. But finally, we have some exciting news to share on this front. Sarah, why don't you do the honors?
Yes, I'm so excited about this. So very soon, the wonderful brushes are going to be hitting the UK shores, and you will be able to get them wholesale or retail from the website. So we're really super excited about that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't tell you, Sarah, how excited we are. I mean, it's been so much fun as a company to see the company grow, to really invest in good quality brushes, and then to, you know, make new friends that love the brushes, and then to be able to expand beyond the States into Canada and now into the UK. And we're also in Ireland. So it's absolutely phenomenal. I can't tell you, like I said, how excited the Zebra crew is. So do we have a general idea? Because I know a lot of people are going to be like, okay, I want them. When can I get them? So any projected idea of when folks will be able to purchase them in the UK?
We're really, really hoping, as long as everything goes according to plan, we're hoping for this middle, possibly the end of May. So that is being really, really optimistic, but we've got our fingers crossed.
Yeah. And you know what? That is close. That is very close. I mean, if you think about it, now we're in, you know, this recording's taking place in mid-March, and time is moving on very quickly. So folks can go ahead and check in, I would assume, because you'll probably have all the information not only on your website, but also on your social media sites. I guess you'll be giving updates there.
Yes, and we've got a dedicated website for Zebra Brushes. So it's www.zebrabrushes.co.uk. And the website is closed at the moment, but you can sign up by email on that website to be the first to know when they hit the shores.
Wow, that is excellent. And as well, those that are interested, you mentioned being able to purchase them as customers, but also as wholesalers. If somebody wants to start getting set up to be a stockist, do they just go to that same website?
Yeah, and just stick their email in, and we will be contacting everybody and asking them what they're, you know, whether they're looking to retail or whether they're looking to wholesale them. So we'll be in touch real soon as if they go sign up to the website.
Right. Well, as we just said, Sarah, this is so incredibly exciting for all of us at Zebra. As I shared earlier, we have been eager to make them available in the UK for a long time. I can't tell you how long. And it is a bit surreal that we can say Zebra paintbrushes are available in the UK. At least we'll be able to say that maybe late May. Thanks, Sarah, for offering your brushes in your lineup. We are here for you. I know you've been working with Bree Hansen, our VP of sales, and we look forward to a long relationship. Yes, yeah, she is. She's been such an asset to this company. And so we look forward to a long relationship with you and Home Revival.
So excited, Lane. I think everybody, there's so many furniture refinishers in the UK that are super excited about these brushes coming to the UK. So it's just excitement all around from everybody, really.
Wow. Well, that's it's across the seas, isn't it? So we're excited as well. Well, stay tuned, folks. Make sure you go to that site and sign up and be notified of when they're going to be available. And we will definitely be keeping track as well and keeping you informed here on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Lane. Speak to you again. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.